When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
We are running somewhat later than usual, so dinner is being served, even as we speak.
Oh, okay. Do you need like 20 minutes or something? This week on Dueling Review, we take a look at Minky Woodcock, the girl who handcuffed Houdini number one. Unappreciated at her father's detective agency, the fabulous rabbit-loving Minky Woodcock straps on her gumshoes in order to uncover a magical mystery involving the world-famous escape artist, Harry Houdini. Yes. Minky Woodcock, what do you know about, Matthew, about the supernatural spiritualism thing that was going on between Houdini and Sir Arthur Conan Doyle?
I only know that Houdini spent a lot of time trying to find a real spiritualist. And there have been, you know, I've read different approaches. Some people say he really wanted to debunk them, and some people say that he really wanted to find a real one.
Yeah. So a lot of times he just spent debunking because he just thought that people were being taken advantage of right and left. And so there's some really cool cases. In fact, I was trying to look up one just a few minutes ago. I think it's Mina Crandon is the medium who kind of had it out for Houdini and who he debunked in great ways, because if I'm thinking of the right medium, she would like pretend to lock herself up in a box.
Uh-huh.
And so then when the lights went out, she would just get up out of the box. It wasn't really locked. And then she'd be able to walk around and do things, and she'd have people all stashed all over the room to really get money out of people in this form of spiritualism. And really the spiritualism movement was a big deal in the early 1900s, and then especially in the 1920s. I was just reading Upton Sinclair's Oil recently. And the father in the story, not the narrator, but the father in the story, at the end of his life, he is taken by spiritualists and spiritualism, and marries a woman who's deeply into that, and she basically makes off with all of his money at the end of the book. So this is a pretty cool thing. I mean, not a cool thing that the hokum about
people
it, but this
taken,
but this comic book is trying to weave, and I'm guessing some fiction along with actual events.
Yeah, there's definitely some stuff in here that, from what I know of Houdini, and I'm going to be honest with you, most of that is from the Big Book of Weirdos.
Oh, yeah.
But actually, it may not have been Weirdos. I can't remember which one it is, but there was an in-depth thing that talked a little bit about Houdini and Bess.
Mm-hmm.
And how they actually had a mentalist act, and he finally decided they didn't want to do it anymore because he felt like, you know, it was bad and it was a terrible thing. But I'm a little confused coming into the front of this comic.
Okay.
Because I love this art. I love every second of this art. Excuse me. But it kind of feels like I should have more context for what's happening with Minky in the beginning of the issue.
Well, I think, don't they say something right at the beginning that
they're like, there's more information on our website. Visit www.
Well, and I think that ties into the whole mystery of what happened to Houdini and, you know, et cetera. But, you know, she basically says up front that, you know, her father, she wants to be a detective, and her father doesn't want her to be because she thinks that that's not women's work. And so, you know, her brother is the partner in the business, and she's just the secretary. Well, her brother's a drunkard, and her father's on safari in Africa. So when Sir Arthur Conan Doyle walks in the door, she talks him into taking the case.
And I like the fact that they don't actually come out and say Arthur Conan Doyle.
Right.
Like, my name is Arthur.
Right. And it takes a few minutes when she starts dropping, oh, but you write Sherlock Holmes, and how can you believe this? And then that's when you're tipped off to, oh, that's who that is.
Right.
Now, here's the weird thing about, and again, this is a work of fiction to my knowledge.
Right.
But here's the interesting thing. Pinkerton Detectives, the Pinkerton Detective Agency, loved hiring women detectives, which is the complete opposite of the way that this story brings forward, because the Pinkerton Agency believed that women made better detectives because they were less suspicious. They were able to work on the wiles of men, and they were able to integrate themselves easier into cases of, infidelity or stealing from banks, those kinds of things, than men would be able to do. So
no one would suspect a woman.
Right, right. And so
playing those sexist tropes against themselves, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So the head of the Pinkerton Agency, he thought women detectives were the best detectives because they were able to infiltrate stuff. And one of the greatest women detectives, Catherine Warren, Warne, she actually helped save President Lincoln from an assassination attempt. And that's a whole other story that we can talk about another time. But so the idea that, yes, there are female detectives in the 1920s, and this shouldn't be too crazy and out there, I think is on. But I also understand that there's this male chauvinism going on in this book that makes our lead character, Minky Woodcock, a secretary who wants so much more than this provincial life.
Yeah. And I do really enjoy the fact, well, I like any story that can do a period piece like this and make it feel authentic.
Uh-huh.
I don't know what it was like. This is what? This is turn of the century. So this is like,
this is 1920. This is before Houdini's death. So this, I believe in the book, it says 1926.
All right. So, I mean, this is something that you'll see stories set in the 20s. You'll be like, wow, this feels like a story set in the 70s. And they're just, people are wearing straw boaters and flapper dresses. But this book feels like it is from a forgotten age. And I really, really love how the art has kind of a primitivism that reminds me of the things that you would see in that. So not necessarily like a woodcut, but that kind of art that in a newspaper or in, some of the proto comic books of the late 20s, early 30s.
Yeah. And that's the thing that I kind of had a little bit of a problem with is, I know what you're saying, but it also looked very simplistic at the same time, but I see where you're coming from in that newspaper art style.
Yeah. I kind of love that because as with, we talk about how when you're dealing with something scary, letting someone fill in the blanks with their mind makes it scarier. When we're dealing with something that's quasi-historical, this is the exact same thing. It gives you enough detail. Sir Arthur is wearing a pinstripe three-piece suit and a straw boater, and he looks like he walked out of The Great Gatsby.
Mm-hmm.
And you see these moments and you see these characters doing things to where it really kind of just throws me into this thought process of this is a completely different age. And then when we have a moment, like when we show up and there's a completely naked medium on the page, and I'm like, oh, they had boobs in the 20s.
Yeah, of course they did.
Well, and you don't think about that, though. It's one of those moments where somehow the, I don't necessarily want to say primitivism, but the parts of this art that are simpler and that are somehow, blockier or less detailed, allow you to fill in some gaps that really, I think it really works to the story's advantage. I love this artist, and I'm now going to follow her in everything.
Yeah, the artist of this book is, I think it's Cynthia von Bueller, who is also the writer of the book. So she brings everything together. And if I'm not mistaken, she does like prose books.
I can see that just from the way the density of the words and the way this story is put together. I want to read her prose.
Yeah, she's American artist, performer, playwright, and children's book author.
Well, this is not
from Massachusetts. No, in fact, if you are listening to this and thinking of picking it up, I think it's a really good story. But there's nudity because they go to one of the seances, and one of the things that makes this seance interesting is the woman does the medium does the seance nude,
right.
And there's also some groping and fondling and other things that are going on both during the seance, and there's the implication that it's going on after the seance as well, where she's cozying up to good old Arthur against the wall, and it looks like there may be something else going on until she makes a move on Minky, and Minky freaks out and takes off.
Yeah, there's sexuality, there's some violence, there's some, underbelly of society going on in here.
Yeah.
There's a lot of things. I would say that when you talk about an adult book, so often it's a shorthand for there's boobs in here, you guys.
Mm-hmm.
This is adult-oriented material.
Yeah, and this is, if I'm not mistaken, too, and again, I should have looked this up, this is indeed from Titan Comics' Hard Case Crime imprint,
which is
a more adult imprint than it's kind of like when we talk about Action Lab Entertainment and Action Lab Entertainment's Danger Zone. The Danger Zone is the adult imprint, while the regular one is the, you know, the general PG stuff.
Steven.
Yeah.
Steven.
Yeah.
Steven.
Yeah.
Danger Zone.
Oh, okay. You know, this is good. I mean, this is following historical events. It aligns with things that were going on at the time period. Minky is hired to look into Harry Houdini and whether spiritualism is real. And Arthur Conan Doyle hires her. She ends up, though, by the end of the issue, meeting Houdini's wife, Bess, I believe is her name.
Yep.
And then Bess is taken by her and hires her as Houdini's assistant. And,
yes, and there's a beautiful full-page shot of Grand Central Station.
Yeah.
That is just amazing. I just love – I'm scrolling up and down the page right now and going, God, I wish I had a physical copy of this book so that I could just –
Well, you can go down to your local comic book shop and pick up a copy today. And you can find your local comic shop by going to comic store locator, I believe, .com, and they will find it. Although if you put in, I've tried to put in like my address into that.
Yeah.
And it says like the closest one is in Texas. And I know that's not the case. So I don't know if you put in the Topeka zip code, if it would show the ones in Topeka and Lawrence and Kansas City and Wichita.
It has. I remember using it. I know that my local comic shop is having some issues because I believe that the marriage of the owner is coming apart. But, you know, again, you can go to your local comic book shop. I'm just saying.
Yeah. Yeah. No,
just,
I mean,
just cut that part out. You know.
Yeah. So here's the thing.
Yes.
I give this a plus up, thumbs up.
Plus up. Thumb
and
pluses.
I give it a lot of thumb pluses. And I say go check it out. It's a really good comic.
I do too, and I think that probably the most lavish praise that I can heap upon this is I mentioned the Big Book of Weirdos and the Paradox Press books.
Mm-hmm.
This feels like it's of a piece with that work because it's taking a very comic book approach, a comic strip approach in some ways, and taking these historical events and delivering them in a way that is fascinating to look at. It's beautiful art. It's really well constructed and really well read. And I now want to just follow this whole series. Is this six issues? Is that correct?
I don't remember how many this is. It's until it's done, but it's with Titan. It's a little weird because sometimes they do 5-issue series and sometimes they do six. So I don't remember what this one is off the top of my head.
They're British. I think they're on the metric system.
Yes, so six comics really equates to a 5-comic series, yes.
Right, because the metric system is in sets of fives and tens, whereas the imperial measures that we use, I don't know. I don't know where I'm going with that.
All right. Coming out next week from Dark Horse Comics, we've got Angel Season 11, number 11, Department H, number 20, and Tomb Raider Survivor's Crusade, number 1. Over at DC Comics,
they had put out Angel Season 11, number 11 on 11/11.
That would have been nice, but I'm sure things didn't fall that way.
You got to do what you got to do.
I guess. DC Comics says Action Comics 992, Batgirl number 17, Demon Hell is Earth number 1. That's a 4-issue miniseries. Flash number 15, Harley Quinn number 32, Comanche Challenge number 11. That's the penultimate issue there. The Rough and Ready Show, number 2 of 6, Teen Titans, number 14, and Wonder Woman, number 35. IDW Publishing has Clue, number 6, DuckTales, number 3, Saucer State, number 5, and Weird Love, number 21. Image Comics, we can look for Copperhead, number 16, Elephant Man, number 79, Hard Place, number 4, Void Trip, number 1, and Warframe, number 2. Marvel Comics will bring us the all-new Wolverine, number 27. That's a legacy numbering right there, Matthew. It's a legacy renumbering.
I don't know that that's a renumbering.
Yeah.
270? 27
is just number 27, and it's got the legacy tag on the end.
That is not a legacy renumbering, dude.
According to Marvel, it is. Black Panther has issue 167. Cable 151 arrives, as does Generation X number 9, and Doctor Strange and the Sorcerer Supreme trade paperback volume 2, Time After Time. Invincible Iron Man 594 lands, as does Luke Cage 167, Silver Sable Wild Pack number 36, Spider-Gwen 25, Star Wars 39, and Thanos number 13, among others. In all the rest category, you can look for the all-new classic Archie, Your Pal Archie number 4. Yeah. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, they take classic stories and they're redrawing them.
In the new Archie style.
In the new Archie style.
Which I kind of love.
I've talked about that before, that, you know, instead of trying to just retell a tale, why not just re-art it up?
Well, they've been doing that. I mean, in some of the Archie stories that you'll
read, not just Archie,
from the
like,
70s.
You know, if people are so fond of the Crisis, just
redo the Crisis.
Redo the Crisis with, you know, I mean, if you have to tweak the script just a little bit to make it more relevant to the time, and then get another artist in there and have them do it. I mean,
nah, I don't know if I'd do that. That's Perez, man.
Well, I'm just saying, but I've mentioned it before, and if people are still dead set on telling the same exact story again and again and again, why not just do this thing?
All right, I'll grant you that. I think there's another problem, another solution to the problem there, too.
Well, and that's just tell new stories and stop dipping back into the well again and again and again. Big Trouble in Little China, Old Man Jack, number 3, arrives next week, as does Classics Illustrated, All Quiet on the Western Front. Ooh. That's,
what?
Yeah, All Quiet on the Western Front. Classics,
wow,
Illustrated.
Who's got the art on that?
$9.95. I don't know. There's another one that they should get some new artists to illustrate. Then they have to repay for it again instead of whoever they originally hired back in 1942.
Well, they didn't do an All Quiet on the Western Front, to my knowledge, in the original Chesterton.
The Kitty, the Hollywood or Bust, number 4. I'm sorry. D Kitty.
Die.
No, I'm sorry.
It's
Die
D-A-
Kitty, Die.
Yeah, Kitty, die.
Disney, Snow White. What is that? 80th anniversary one-shot, $4.99. Doctor Who, the 10th Doctor, year 3, number 11. Dollface, number 11. Doctor Radar, Statics, number 1, is what that says.
Radar wasn't a doctor. Radar was the company clerk. Hawkeye was a doctor.
We have Grim Fairy Tales, Tales of Terror, volume 3, number 10. Let's see. Happy Hour in America, number 1. Invader Zim, number 25. The Lark's Killers, number 4. Librarians, number 2. That's based on, what is that, a sci-fi? Or is that a TNT, TBS?
That's a sci-fi joint.
That's a sci-fi story? Okay. I thought
no,
they were
you're right.
On,
it is TNT, yeah.
Yeah, I thought they were on one of the Turner channels. Overtaken,
yeah,
number 4, penultimate issue there.
I was thinking
there.
Of the Magicians for a second.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Shadow, number 4. Stargate Atlantis, Hearts and Minds, number 3. Van Helsing versus the Werewolf, number 5. And Zombie Tramp Ongoing, number 41. Hey, everybody, guess what? We are going to be off next week because of the Thanksgiving holiday, so you will not be getting a show from us next week. We apologize for that, but hey, you know, holidays in America. What are you going to do about it?
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, we could.
We have like 19 kids between us.
Yeah, exactly. And I'll probably have that many running around the house on Thanksgiving Day.
Right.
So we'll be off next week, but we will be back the week after that for more Dueling Review. But in the meantime, I want to thank you for showing your support to this show by becoming a patron over at patreon.com/majorspoilers. So many of you have signed up. We are really appreciative of that, as it does keep the lights on and allows us to produce this show week after week, as well as everything that we do at Major Spoilers. And if you're not a patron, what are you waiting for? Join all the other cool kids at patreon.com/majorspoilers. Lots of extras out there. And I'm seeing that the new Year 11 t-shirts are out in the wild exclusively for our patron members. So
Nice. Thank
you so much for your time and checking out Dueling Review. We will talk with you next time when you will hear Matthew say,
are we seriously not doing phrasing anymore?
This podcast is copyright 2017 by Major Spoilers Entertainment, LLC.